Thank you, Madam Chair. On page seven of the report for the Texas Department of Banking, I'd like to report that we have no outstanding items.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Jones.
Yes, Madam Chair, SML has no outstanding items to report.
Okay, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Our report is on page nine. Really, all we list is future items, and so there are no outstanding items, but there are two. Obviously, we'll hear from the internal auditors, but there's a risk management program review, which was initially scheduled for the second week of April. That was postponed until June.
Okie doke. Next, we're going to have discussion on a possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's fiscal year 2020 internal auditor's risk assessment audit plan. Kim, are you on the line? Kim?
We are having some audio issues with Kim. Can we please hold for a minute?
Sure.
Madam Chair, can we go on to the next menu and come back to this so I can get Kim online?
I was just going to suggest that.
Okay.
Next, we have discussion and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's February 29, 2020 investment officer report. Commissioner Cooper?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 33 of the report, first of all, can everyone hear me all right now? Okay, I'll speak a little louder. On page 33 of the report, we have the report of the seized funds, and as the report indicates, we have no seized funds at this time. Then on page 34 would be the trust-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund investment report. It shows that we have $1,435,000 in the fund as of November. It shows a little bit of activity ending up with $1,454,000. Then right below that, it shows where these funds are held. So again, just normal activity for that fund. On page 35, we have the insurance funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund report. Again, normal activity ends up with about $649,000 in the fund. And then below that, it shows where these funds are held. And Madam Chair, that is our report.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Jones, do you want to give your investment officer a report, please?
Yes, ma'am. The attorney asked us for to give the report, so I'll follow up her to unmute at this point.
Good morning. Antonia Antoff, Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our investment officer report is located on page 36 of your materials. We had three CDs that matured during the second quarter, and we have renewed only one of them because they offered better rates. We have another maturity today that we will be talking to the bank to see what rates they offer. Currently, Safekeeping Trust is giving us 0% interest because they are not investing our funds. Overnight repurchase agreements have negative rates, so they are not investing anything right now. So whatever South Star Bank offers probably will be higher than 0%. But I will report on that next time. And this is all I have unless you have any questions on our investment officer report.
Any questions? Okay, thank you, Antonia.
Chair, the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, Second Quarter Investment Officer Report begins on page 37. You'll see the first report is for the Residential Mortgage Loan Originator Recovery Trust Fund. We've got normal activity, minimal activity in that fund, and so that's all as you would expect normally. On page 38 is the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. And you'll see in this report, the second quarter, we have additions that come through as part of the annual assessment that's provided by the credit access businesses, and you'll see those additions that are listed in the cash portion. And then you'll see some investment activity and change in value over the quarter. But you'll see that the overall value of the fund increased from the beginning of the first quarter to the end of the second quarter. Beginning of the second quarter to the end of the second quarter. Some of that's, of course, in large part due to those additions. And there was some grant disbursements as well, but the final balance is $8,197,207.
Okay. Any questions on any of the reports?
No questions on this end.
Okay. All right, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's February 29, 2020 Investment Officer Report?
So moved.
Lori, Hacker, second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay, next, is Kim on yet or no?
Yes.
Am I? Can you hear me now, Madam Chair?
We can.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning. All right, so let's now go into the discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's fiscal year 2020 internal auditor's risk assessment and audit plan. And we'll start out with the Texas Department of Banking, all right, Kim?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Madam Chair, Member Committee. I'm Kim Locus-Gonzalez here representing Garza Gonzalez and Associates. What you have to packet on pages 11 through 31 is the internal audit plan for the Finance Commission. So this report includes the internal audit plans for all three agencies, so they're all in one report. Page 13 of the report in your board packet is our report to you indicating that we have performed the risk assessment and this internal audit plan for fiscal year 2020, and it includes not only the audits but other assignments that we may be assigned during that period. For DOB, their internal audit plan begins on page 17 of your report. Pages 17 through 19 gives the audit plan for the Texas Department of Banking. As part of the internal audit plan, we did perform a risk assessment, prepared this internal audit plan, and as part of the risk assessment, we identified 16 audit areas, which are listed there on page 17. And one of them is in the high risk area, some in the moderate, and the remaining in the low risk. But instead of looking at that, if you wouldn't mind turning to page 26 of your packet, because I think this gives you a better snapshot of the risk assessment summary that was performed. So on page 26 of your packet, you have the risk assessment summary for the Texas Department of Banking. You have the, as I indicated before, there are 16 potential audit topics. One of them is in the high risk area, 7 in the moderate risk area, 8 in the low risk area. And what we are recommending for audit this year for fiscal year 2020 are two areas. One of them being the revenue accounting process. That is item number 2. Area number 2 there on the risk assessment summary. And item number 12, which is the imaging and records management area. Now you may be asking why we are not recommending the management information systems for audit this time around, since it's the highest risk area. And the reason for that is, since part of our risk assessment summary, we do get feedback from all the responsible parties for all these areas, including the commissioner, including Madam Chair, as the chair of the audit committee, you do get feedback as well are some policies and procedures that are requiring update. So because of the new management in place and him knowing that there are some policies and procedures needing update, we'd like to just move with your audit. So that is the reason for going to the next area for the revenue accounting process. And for the second area, we are going to the low risk area, item number 12 there, imaging and records management. And if I could have you turn now to page 29 of your report. I think selecting or recommending for audit this next area, you can see it better on page 16. Page 16 of your report is titled The History of Areas Audit for the Texas Department of Banking. There you can see the potential audit topics, and there's a 10-year period of history for either the areas being audited by internal auditors or reviewed by other state agencies. If you'll notice item number 5 there, the imaging and records management area, the area that we're recommending for the second audit, that area has not been reviewed for the last 3 years. So we are considering, because we did get feedback from some finance committee members in the past, that they feel that areas should be reviewed at least on a 3-year basis if possible. And this area is the only area that has not been audited or reviewed by another agency within the last 3 years. So that is our reasoning for selecting the imaging and records management area for the second audit. So to recap, for the Texas Department of Banking, for the internal audit plan for fiscal year 2020, we are recommending for audit the revenue area and also the imaging and records management area. In addition to that, we will also prepare the annual internal audit report that's required to be submitted to the state auditors by November 1st of each year. And with that, I'd like to answer any questions that you may have. I guess there's only one question more for Commissioner Cooper. So can you give us kind of a background of how much management information systems, you know, controls been looked at, in all aspects of, you know, like cybersecurity and access to the systems and all of that, especially with people probably working, well, you probably have a lot remote anyway. Just kind of give us some comfort that area being the high risk area, you feel like it's been audited completely, all aspects of it.
Madam Chair, make sure that you're talking about our information systems. Was that what you asked about?
Yes.
Okay. And sure. I'm looking on here. We have had several audits there, but as for what is going on now, we did hire a new chief information officer who's been on for about 2 months. He has implemented a lot of improvements. We're upgrading our policies, and I feel that the system was reasonably secure, if you will, prior to what he's done, but he's really upgraded our systems, and so I feel very, very comfortable in waiting possibly until next year, until that's looked into again. Oh, Madam Chair, I don't have his resume in front of me. I introduced him, I believe, to the Finance Commission last meeting. He's got 20 years background. He's worked at several state agencies. We had a very vigorous selection process, and we had three really top quality candidates, and he came highly recommended, and he really hit the ground running, and I think we're very fortunate to have him. Possibly next time, at the next meeting, we'll let him give a little bit of an update for what he's been doing.
There's a lot of the A ones, which are McConnell
Carl Jones, they looked at certain processes and they covered which the processes at the agency have been for the different areas. And Madam Chair, I know you were asking about Commissioner Cooper, Management Information Systems. If you'll notice in 2019, there is a under the legend D, that doesn't have an asterisk. So there was a pretty detailed review of that area performed by the DIR in 2019. The other ones with D with the asterisk that by DIR or their or a vendor of DIR, usually they'll do like a penetration test, so that's not really that's just one part of the management information systems. But in 2019 there was a pretty detailed review of the management information systems performed by DIR or a third party prepared by DIR.
Okay, and so they would look at access controls and things like that.
Yes.
Okay.
And I believe that, Madam Chair, I believe that's an every 2 year occurrence. It's required.
And all of the agencies have that review, that fee review, correct?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
So I won't ask the other question. I won't ask the same question of each of the other commissioners when we get to it.
So Kim, you mentioned that they did penetration testing, DIR, and access controls. Those are internal controls that with people who have access to various portions of the systems.
That would be access controls, yes, ma'am. They would look at, I don't have the report in front of me, but there are some various controls on the access by various people within the organization as to their rights that they have and if they are within their job descriptions. And just to make sure that they are, the access rights that they are provided are is what they are needed to perform their job functions.
And if it, or when GARSA does a similar internal audit of management systems, would you look at that also?
Yes, we would. That is really the type of audit that we would do. Our audit of an MIS, we refer to it as a TAC 202 audit. That is the Texas Administrative Code issued by the state. And there are various controls that the state agencies must have in place. So that is really the type of audit that we would do as part of the management information systems review.
Okay.
When DIR does their penetration tests, they do remotely. They want to make sure that the system cannot be, for lack of a better word, hacked into from other from being. So they perform that remotely to ensure that there are adequate safeguards in place to ensure that cannot happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go on to the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending.
The Department of Savings and Lending, their audit plan begins on page 20 of your report. As part of our risk assessment for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, we identified 12 audit areas. A risk assessment was performed for those 12 audit areas, and I'm going to do the same thing as I did for DOB, if you wouldn't mind turning to page 27 of your report. So here on page 27 of your report, this is the risk assessment summary for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. There are 12 potential audit topics identified, 3 of them being high risk, 4 moderate risk, and 5 low risk. For the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, we are recommending the third area there, the records management area for audit. And the reason for that, and I'm going to have you again turn to page 30 of your report.
So why would that be high? I mean, what processes are different that make that high for SML yet low for Department of Banking?
Well, it's not an absolute number for each agency. So there are a number of potential audit topics. And then the scores that are given, the weights, it gives us a different score. So based on our formula that we use, that's how we come up with the scoring on the risk assessment summary. If you look at the Department of Banking, their highest risk area is scored of 185.5. If you look at Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, their highest risk area is scored at 158. So it's not an absolute, but you can't just take it as an absolute number across the agencies because of the different factors that are used and the different. So Department of Banking has 16 areas. When you put all those together, you know that the high risk is greater than a certain number. The same thing for Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. So it's not going to be the same numbers that we use for each agency. It would not work out that way.
But it looks like for the Department of SML, they don't have policies and procedures. Would that be correct for the most part? Not
except for management information systems.
No, for records management. So see policies and procedures on your.
Yes. That indicates that they're either not current or I think that they're being worked on or not current. You can correct me, but I believe that's what was provided to us as part of the risk assessment summary.
Caroline.
Yeah. Oh, Caroline.
Yeah, this is Caroline. I believe that is correct. We do have some, but they're being updated.
Okay, go ahead.
And again, for the records management, if you look on page 30 of your report, for the 12 potential audit topics identified, that is the only area that has not been reviewed or audited within 10 years of the audit history. So we feel that that is an area that should be, actually all areas probably should be looked at periodically, but since it hasn't been audited within the last 10 years, and not only that, because all the other areas in 2018 were either looked at as part of the sunset or post-payment, we felt that this year probably is a good year to look at records management, since all the other areas have probably been looked at in detail, most of them as part of sunset, and so records management, we felt as the internal auditors that that area should be looked at this year.
Okay.
And in addition to that, as I indicated for DOB, we also will prepare the annual internal audit reports, and if that is required to be submitted by November 1st of each year as part of our functions to be performed.
Okay. Any questions, members? Okay, next let's do the OCCC.
OCCC's internal audit plan begins on page 22 of your report. As part of the internal risk assessment performed for OCCC, we identified 17 audit areas that were assessed as part of the risk assessment. And their risk assessment summary is on page 28 of your report. On page 28 of your report, the risk assessment for OCCC, there are three areas in the high risk area. 9 areas in the moderate risk and 5 areas in the low risk area. Now you can see that the area that we're recommending for audit is in the moderate risk area. We are recommending again the records management area for OCCC, because if you look at risk factor number 2, times confessed audit, all the areas either have a 1 because they were audited or reviewed recently. That for records management, that has a 3, because if you look, just like SML, if you take a look at the last page of your report, page 31, item number 14 there is the records management area, and again, that area has never been looked at within a 10-year period, and in management audit remotely, and it's taken a little bit longer, but we're working through it. So I don't see much of a problem to be able to do it. And I know that some of the staff may be able to go to the office and provide us information as needed, or maybe even what we're kind of kicking around with the other agency is perhaps where we could do some type of video observation, if you will, where if we are wanting to observe some records, perhaps a staff member there could do some type of, I don't know, maybe like a Zoom meeting or even like what we're doing here, but with video, so we can actually observe anything that we need to observe.
Okay.
But I think we can work around it.
Okay. Audit committee members, any other questions that you would have of Kim at this time?
No, thank you.
In that case, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's fiscal year 2020 internal auditor's risk assessment and audit plan?
So moved.
Boy, is there a second?
Second.
Hector, any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, no opposed, the ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay, next we're going to move on to the second quarterly financial statement. So we have a discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's 2020 second quarter financial statements. Commissioner Cooper?
Okay, the Department of Banking starts on page 39. Sammy Chadley, are you on?
Yes, I'm available.
Okay, go ahead and give your report, please.
Yes. Good morning, Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. On page 39 is our operating statement for the quarter ending February 29, 2020. If you notice, our revenues, our budget revenues are at 97.8% of our actuals. And our expenditures are at 93.5% of our budget. So basically, we're within the thresholds. On page 40 is our overview of budget variances for the second quarter. I'm going to go over a couple of items. The first one is a non-depository supervision. We have a variance there for the quarter. And that is due to the timing of collected assessments, and this variance will be offset in future quarter assessments. The next item, employee compensation and benefits. We do have a positive variance here, and that's related to staff vacancies. Our vacancies in terms of FTEs as of February 29, 2020, or 23, we have 5 administrative vacancies and 18 executive vacancies. And the last item I'm going to talk about is communications. We have a positive increase due to the cancellation of the electronic subscription and lower than anticipated telephone expenditures. Are there any questions so far?
So with the virus and the DOB not doing on-site examinations or examinations, do you expect the next quarter to be significantly, expenditures would be much less than budget, right?
Yes, especially on the travel side.
Right. Are we anticipating that we'll have some forgiveness of the assessment for the next period?
For the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
We have built in a 10% built in forgiveness automatic, and then maybe Commissioner Cooper can correct me if I'm wrong, but historically in the fourth quarter we did forgive more than what we anticipated to forgive because of the sickness. So I am thinking that in the fourth quarter there'll be some additional forgiveness. Assessment forgiveness.
Yeah, Madam Chair, that's exactly right. The our biggest part of the budget are the salaries and benefits, and then next to that we have travel, very little travel recently and probably will not be, but all of that will be taken into consideration as we evaluate about our forgiveness for this quarter.
Yeah, you're right. The professional fee, personnel costs are the big chunk of that amount anyway.
And we do have, as indicated on page 40, we have several vacancies. So, for instance, we've got right now we have 19 postings out. Most of them, primarily for the bank and trust, for the entry level positions, and we have already had one. A group interviewed, and we're poised or set up for having another group to be interviewed, and we're all doing that telephonically. Right now we are
Antonia. Commissioner Dunn?
I'm sorry, Ms. Leslie, are you ready for me?
I'm ready for you.
Okay. The Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner second quarter report begins on page 45. You'll see here that total revenues year to date are running at 107% of expected, so over a bit, primarily due to a little bit of not so much timing, because we've been through a high, one of our high renewal cycles happens in the second quarter. We had a number of, quite a bit higher than we expected of late renewals that came in through the first quarter and some in the second quarter, and there were late filing fees associated with those and just some reinstatements that were more than we anticipated. So that's primarily what's driving that number. Our personnel costs are running about 93%, and then our overall total expenditure, we're running about 91.5%. You'll see the very few statements on page 46. I think I've already discussed most of what's important there. Travel's at 93% of year-to-date budget. Because of the situation currently in due to COVID-19 and our decline in travel activity, we're going to see some continued decline in travel expenses, obviously, through the next quarter, and we'll see how that's going to affect some of the budget. Of course, salaries and wages are at 94% of the projected budget. We do have, typically we would have been pursuing a new examiner class about now to bring those on. We have hit pause on that a bit, just to try to determine sort of what the outcome is going to be and how we can project a little better about what's happening with some of our licensees. There'll be some adjustments, I think, in the population of some of our licensed entities, and we want to be sure that we're responsive to that. And so we can pause just a bit on some. We'll probably incur a bit more unspent budget and salaries and wages for the next few months as well. Moving on to page 47 is our liquidity report. You will see that we show the unreserved cash balance at 8.7 months. Again, that's a high point, cyclical within the year for us. Typically, we see third quarter is when we hit about 6 months or below. We were below 6 months last May. We had initially projected to be very close to that 6 month mark in May. Given the pause that we're hitting on travel and some of the salaries, maybe slightly over that. As you may recall, we have already deferred through our rulemaking our motor vehicle renewal by into the fall, which is again going to help, you know, provide again a greater discount to, in a way, I guess you could look at it like that, to some of the industries, but also better align our revenues with some of these fiscal year cycles. So we expect by the end of the year below the 6 months for sure, and maybe third quarter may be a little bit more in question right now, given that we've hit the pause on the travel. But we're looking at some adjustments of that as we try to get a clearer view on sort of the economic effects of the current disaster that we're dealing with. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Leslie, it's Lori. Are you able to keep performing audits during this time?
We are performing some off-site activity, off-site monitoring, off-site supervision. We have some types of examinations we continue to conduct. They're a little more challenging, and we're getting some of our licensees sort of up to speed a little bit. We've used the time very productively in a number of different areas, but it's going to show up on our performance relative to examinations conducted, because we can't do them to the same extent that we had before. But as things begin to open up a little bit, then we'll hopefully be able to reinstate some of those. But we will see some impact on that.
Okay. Yeah, I invested in all of them, because obviously there is an impact of what you can do when you can't go to, you know, somebody's office. And with your, it seems like even more, because you're so diverse in the audits that you perform.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes, ma'am. As the committee is aware, two large banks, the Schwab Bank, converted to State Savings Bank, which does have an impact on SML's revenue. As it stands today, the impact on the 2020 revenue, were we to charge them the full amount they would owe under the current assessment rate, would put us out of compliance with the policy and with statute. We have a recommendation of an option that will assist with our management of revenue while having the two banks pay for their, fully pay for their share of regulations. And I also want to be clear that we are only talking about 2020, fourth quarter 2020. For fiscal year 21 budget, we are reviewing the assessment schedule in full for all of the thrift to determine at the different levels what amount we will recommend assessing in the future. But for now, we're talking about how to manage these funds for the rest of fiscal year 20. I'm going to call on Antonio to walk through the specifics of the proposal and how we arrived at it, and then we're happy to answer any questions.
The item before you deals specifically with the Charles Schwab Bank conversion to our charter, and it contains two parts. One is related to our fiscal year 20 revenue district assessments in particular, and the other is related to our fiscal year 20 expenditures. The first assessment to the Schwab Bank is scheduled to be issued on June 1, which is for the fourth quarter of fiscal year 20, and it's going to be before our, the June meeting. At our current assessment rate, as Commissioner Jones said, the incoming amounts will generate significant excess of reserves at fiscal year end. It was our estimate that the cost of regulation for the new two entities through the fiscal year end will come out to no more of 30% of the assessments that we would receive if we bill them based on our current assessment rates and the bank's asset size at the time. Right now, the with COVID, our expenditures are changing, the cost of regulation is changing, so this percentage will change as well. For fiscal year 2021, as Commissioner Jones is saying, we are working on revising our assessment structure as a whole in order to achieve equitable assessment. Right now, we are just asking for your approval that for the first for the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2020, we assess the Charles Schwab Banks only the amount needed to cover the cost of regulation. This concludes my remarks for the revenue part of the item. I will be happy to answer any questions or if you want me to also present the expenditure fees.
I think you need to tell us what that expenditure, what you're requesting from an expenditure standpoint. How much are you anticipating that you're going to need?
The expenditure portion deals with expenditures that we will incur to regulate these two entities through fiscal year end. We were prepared to bring a budget revision today, but then coronavirus happened. As I said, the amounts are changing every week. We are planning to bring you an actual budget revision for the 2020 operating budget in June. Currently, we are operating within our approved operating budget. With this item, what we are requesting is an approval to reserve and expend funds out of the existing cash reserve in case we need to expend funds in excess of our approved fiscal year 20 budget until we have had a chance to bring a budget revision in June. I do not anticipate having to access these funds, but just in case, I think that if we go with an amount of $100,000, will be more than sufficient to cover us in case
hire additional employees, their examiners. So the way I was understanding how to do this would be the legacy portfolio, there's no change in the assessments. Everything's the same. What we're looking for is $400,000 to be able to examine, to cover the expenses for Schwab, which includes, you know, potential upgraded systems, potential new hires, and then that $400,000 is what we would anticipate assessing Schwab to take them through our fiscal year end.
The budget revision that we were intending to bring in June will cover the expenses that we will incur to regulate the Schwab Bank, but also was going to address a couple of departures that we're having, so it was going to be the net effect. So it, I believe it will be smaller, and with coronavirus going on, you know, the budget revision, we might have some excess funds in the operating budget that's already approved. The budget revision that we were going to bring in June, it's probably going to be much smaller than $400,000.
But Schwab to be paid for themselves. So in other words,
they will. These are two different things. The budget revision will be net for several things occurring, but the assessment that will be sent to Schwab will be for their cost of regulation. You're correct. They will be paying for their own cost of regulation. It's just these are two separate things that we're talking about. The budget revision that we're going to ask is not equal to what we will assess them. The budget revision is going to be on the expenditure side.
Okay. So all you're asking for right now is $100,000 to spend towards expenses that were unforeseen that you might need in order to examine Schwab.
Yeah, today, what we're asking for today is an approval to assess the Schwab Bank at lower than our current assessment rate, so just enough to cover further cost of regulation, and an approval to access the reserves in case we need it until June, until we're able to bring an actual budget revision.
And that amount is not to exceed $100,000.
That's correct.
Okay. Any discussion, members, on that?
Well, I just think the math needs to reconcile, but I don't see any issue with the freedom of now.
Okay. Lori?
Yeah, I think I'm clear on what we're doing. And I guess Schwab will be assessed for the entire time that they have been with SML, which is a little more than a quarter, isn't it?
Yeah, so it'll end up being for more than a quarter. So all we're doing now is taking them through June.
Okay.
Okay, and then my understanding that is in June we'll have a better number and we'll be able to reconcile back. We'll have a new budget to take a look at, an updated budget.
Yeah, because it sounds like the net effect is including reductions that would apply to the legacy SMO banks. And not include Schwab. That's what I'm a little confused
about. The overall budget revision that we're planning to bring will also include a couple of departures that we have throughout the year. It's going to be the net of what the overall budget will look like for fiscal year 2020. The $400,000 is going to come in on the revenue side, and we will have the matching expenditures, but the budget revision will be for the overall agency budget. The $100,000 that we're asking is not the cost. This is only through June if we have to access the reserves. It's going to be more than sufficient. I don't even think that we need to access the reserves, but just in case, if we have some expenditures, this is just to access the reserves until June.
Yeah, I think the only observed concern that the legacy banks will cover a portion of the Schwab cost, and we don't take force.
And they will not. We are satisfied.
their own cost of regulation right now, and everybody is covering their fair share. If there is any excess of revenues from this year, it will be applied to next year's assessment.
Let's do this. Before the next meeting, we'll have a total reconciliation and be able to show. I think it's very difficult to visualize what you're talking about, Antonio, right now. So I think that we'll just spend some time before the next meeting and get that reconciliation hammered out, if you will. So we'll have a clear picture by the next meeting.
Yes, of course. I do realize it's difficult without the numbers to approve a blanket like that, but this is what we have right now. In June, we will have the full picture with actual numbers.
Right.
But Madam Chairman, as we go through our determination of figures for June, we will reach out to you, and if you want us to speak, to talk to the other members separately as well, we can, but we will reach out to you for sure.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
With that all being said, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the reduction of assessment rates in the reserve and expenditures of funds for thrift examination and supervision for FY 2020 as needed, not to exceed $100,000 for the reserve, for assessing the reserve and expenditures in connection with the Charles Schwab Bank SSB and Charles Schwab Premier Bank SSB. Hector made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Lori seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay, next, Commissioner Pettijohn, we have a report on activities related to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The report begins on page 48. And just briefly, I wanted to draw your attention on page 49 is the semi-annual progress report for the conclusion of the 2018-2019 grant cycle. And on page 52, you can see that total reimbursements were about 200, and total requests for reimbursements about $226,000. Percentage of funds expended for about 90%. And that concludes all the requests that we're going to see through that potential report, or so that grant cycle. Just a couple of brief highlights on the overall cycle. You'll see a more complete report either late summer or early fall when we do the impact report for the 2018-2019 grant cycle, but my understanding is with those grant funds from that cycle, about 25,000 participants were served, about 15,000 direct training hours were provided, and the sort of train the trainers or train the teachers, there was about a little over 1,100 trainers trained in that cycle. So some pretty significant results again relative to that particular grant cycle. Otherwise, we've begun in the new grant cycle and have gotten agreements with the particular organizations that were awarded grants at the last meeting, and that cycle has begun. And we'll see their first reports in July, at the end of July. So that concludes my report for the TFE activities.
Any questions or any additional